We're going to be honest and explore women's ministry. We really have to address a few things. We have to acknowledge the ways that we are doing women's ministry the right way. And we also need to expose where we're failing women. Walk into any typical American church and you will see a women's ministry program that is filled with social activities, sprinkled with a bit of God. A painting night at a local art studio with a short devotion before we begin. A women's brunch with a local motivational speaker to help us overcome potty training or bringing back the intimacy with our husbands. You may find yourself at a book study that spends 30 minutes socializing before starting the 15-minute video and ending in 5 minutes of prayer. Does this sound familiar? It does to me. And in my past experience with women's ministry, I've planned these type of events. I saw the purpose in them, but I can tell you that I was also never satisfied with their outcome. I knew that we were being called to more, but you can easily get caught up in more activities when God's actually calling you to more of Him. So let me assure you, He is calling for more, and it isn't going unnoticed. If you want to know why we're not reaching our next generation of women, spend a little time researching. You won't have to look far. A quick internet search will pull up articles and blogs that will gladly tell us all that we are doing wrong in women's ministry. Probably one of the best pieces from this perspective is from author Sarah Bessie. In her open letter to women's ministry, she speaks very candidly as a woman who is fed up with craft projects and decorating tips. She wants something deeper than this week's motivational speaker or glossed over book study. Women are craving more, and I have included a link to her article in the bonus resources at the end of this section. You can read it for yourself, but I would like to share just a quote from her letter. She says, "So here is my suggestion. Please stop treating women's ministry like a safe club for the ladies to play church. We are smart. We are brave. We want to change the world. We run marathons to benefit our sisters, not that we can lose weight. We have more to offer to the church than our mad decorating skills or childcare. I look around and I can see that these women can offer strategic leadership, wisdom, counsel, and even, yes, teaching. We want to give and serve and make a difference. We want to be challenged. We want to read books and talk politics and theology and current events. We want to wrestle through our theology. We want to listen to each other. We want to worship. We want to intercede for our sisters, and we want to weep with those who weep, rejoice with those who rejoice, and to create life and art and justice with intention. Let's be a community of women gathered together to live more wholeheartedly, to sharpen and challenge, love and inspire one another, to then scatter back out to our worlds, bearing the mandate to be women that love." Idalet McVicker wrote, "Let us rise to the questions of our time. Let us speak to the injustices of our world. Let us move mountains of fear and intimidation. Let us shout down the walls that separate and divide. And let us fill the earth with the fragrance of love. Let us be women who love." When you read that, I hope that you would be inspired. I know that I am. But I have to admit, I like getting together with women to make crafts and swap recipes. And there is a place for this within women's ministry. But at the same time, we have to be cautious that those activities don't become the focus of the women's ministry, which is, and should always be, Christ. You may wonder then, is a women's ministry even important anymore? And I would say 100% yes. However, it is starting to take a new shape. Women want more, and we're on the cusp of transition, even revival, if I can be so bold. You see it at the brunches when the microphone is being handed over to the woman who sits with us in the pews every Sunday, and she shares her testimony about her drug addiction and that it cost her children and nearly her own life, that God has delivered her from her addiction, and that she's in the progress of restoring those relationships with her children. Authenticity at its finest. And we skip the DIY project and we pray over her recovery. It happens when a group of women gather at a park on a Sunday morning just to pray over the children, the schools, and the county and their country. You're immersed in it when you attend a women's conference that is less concert and motivation and instead offers workshops on systematic theology and reads an entire book of scripture start to finish, unpacking it verse by verse. You're part of it when your ministry and then when your small group decides to skip a meeting and instead goes and volunteers at a local homeless shelter. You are making the transition when you invite a group of women to your home to have coffee and dig into an expository Bible study instead of the next bestseller. You are living it when you head into that foreign country or even that local neighborhood and rescue a broken woman from the bondage of the sex slave industry. You are part of the change when you enroll in a course like this at CLI to equip yourself as a future leader. In the book, Women's Ministry in the Local Church, Legion Duncan and Susan Hunt do an amazing job of helping us understand the place that women's ministry has in our church today. He describes his mother and wife, both of whom had pastors and leaders who invested in their understanding of the scriptures. Through that investment, they were then in turn able to invest into the women of their church and then their lives, which is exactly what Paul instructs Timothy and other leaders to do in his letter in 1 Timothy. Carrie Sandham writes in the book, Word-Filled Women's Ministry, "This means that we have a tremendous responsibility, not just to faithfully teach God's word to others in our own generation, but also to train those who will be faithful teachers and trainers of the next generation. And in women's ministry, it is no different. I am hugely grateful to God for the faithful men and women that He has used to teach me the Bible, and then to train me to teach others, and to train other women to be teachers and trainers of others." In a recent conference I attended, a group of women had gathered for a workshop on women's ministry, and I sat listening as the women described what women's ministry in their church looked like. These are churches of today, in 2015. There is no women's ministry. The leaders of the church don't believe it's necessary, or they don't believe it's biblical for women to teach at all. Or there is a women's ministry. The leaders are okay with women teaching, but only from a select group of resources. There is no women's ministry in the church, and the women are attending organizations outside of our church for deeper spiritual study. There is a women's ministry, but you know, we only do a couple Bible studies a year. We do have a women's ministry, but it's really just a luncheon every couple of months. There's sort of a women's ministry. We don't really have a plan. We just kind of pick a book and study it. We have a strong women's ministry, but it's superficial. We're trying to change that, but we can't get church leadership to change how they view women's ministry. They see it like a coffee club. I couldn't help but notice a theme that each woman presented as they described their women's ministry, that women's ministry was simply not cutting it. Even in the best scenarios, with thriving, active ministries, they still wanted something deeper. At the same conference, I attended a workshop on women in seminary. Now, this was not a workshop for women who already were, but actually for those who wanted to be. And it was actually filled to capacity within minutes of online registration. And as you approached the room, there was a line of women waiting outside, just hoping that there would still be some space available, hoping someone didn't show or that they could just squeeze in, even if it meant sitting on the floor. These were women who wanted a seminary education. They wanted a deeper understanding of the scriptures. They needed to understand how they could proceed with that call. I mean, what about finances? What am I going to do with this degree? Is it even appropriate for me as a woman to attend seminary? A room of near 50 women feeling called to seminary, just trying to justify formal biblical training. As if we needed to justify, as Christians, a reason to come to a deeper knowledge of the scriptures and a relationship with God through His word. This is the state of women's ministry in the present. The ember has started to burn, but we've got to start fanning those flames. The social aspects of the ministry still have a place, simply because of the disconnected world that we live in. But the social aspects should be the launching pad into deeper living waters. I had an opportunity to sit in on a workshop led by Legion Duncan on systematic theology at a conference. It was a general conference for pastors. In his opening remarks, he joked that he anticipated only two people would attend, and he was pleased to see a packed room. There was well over 50 of us. As I looked around the room, I marveled at the men in attendance. Some looked fresh out of high school, and others were older, seasoned pastors who you could tell were there to listen to a man they respected. The exciting thing for me was the number of women, also of varied ages, hens at the ready. They had accompanied their husbands to this conference and just decided to sign up. It truly was absolutely stunning. Different ages, different stages, women who wanted a deeper understanding of the Word.